You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you gotta love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello from the horse's mouth is live once again, looking ahead to Punchestown Festival. We are, if there is a halfway stage, close to it. It's a 5-dayer, so halfway through the Thursday card will be the halfway stage. It's Ruby Walsh and it's Rory De Largy. Rory De Largy in his library today. Looks like the library. Am I looking at your library?
Well, it's my office with all my racing books behind me. Yeah. In an ideal world, I will have a library in your house.
De Largy with the map in the library. Ruby Walsh live from Punchestown, where he is safely ensconced for the week. Ruby, how are you?
All good, PK. Not about it.
Okay, good man. So far, so good in terms of coverage and everything else. All gone well?
No rows yet, are you?
Okay, Jane Mangan. Well done. She's a very professional performance from her with Jimmy Mangan's horse winning on the opening day. That was good scenes. We'd like to see that. It's a good crack. Now, we're going to get cracking on some winners. Before I do, as ever, a few bits of housekeeping. We've got extra place races aplenty on the Thursday, including the 340, 415, 450, 635 and 705, all getting the extra place treatment some way or another. If you want to pop into a shop throughout the week, you get a free tenner bet. All you got to do is have a tenner double on any of the action at Punchestown. Over the counter, you get yourself a free tenner bet. And also don't forget, check out Ruby, Rich Ritchie and Paddy discussing Jack and Ambi sizing Europe, as many brilliant features on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. But right now, we kick off with race number one on Thursday. It is a 2-miler. It's a 340. It's a handicap hurdle. We're recording Wednesday afternoon, 12:30. No prices yet. Have a tissue for this race. And it's going to be probably six of the field. Judicious Allen, Rumi for Edward O'Grady, Undeniable Alibi are the only three at single figure prices, Rory, on the tissue. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, well, it does look typically very open. And I do like one here, but I'm going to take a while to find it. down towards the bottom of the weights, I thought Club Manager was very interesting. I'd quite like to be with a younger horse in a race like this. And I noticed that 2-mile handicap that closed the card at Sandown, that opened the card at Sandown on Saturday, that the four-year-olds had a very good record in that. And this is the time of year when the four-year-olds are still getting an allowance, should be worth following in handicaps. We did have a four-year-old won this in 2018 in Park Paddocks, justified favoritism, two of the four winners since have been five as well. So you want to concentrate on the younger horses as a rule over this trip. I do tend to don't apply the same rule to longer races as a rule, but Club Manager, I didn't show an awful lot in qualifying runs and ability on the flat. I was rated 65 on the flat. Was fairly well beaten, although was finishing midfield in novice hurdles on bad ground. Showed a big chunk of improvement to win at Bellewstown just over a week ago on his first handicap start, and indeed his first run on better than soft ground. So it was yielding ground at Bellewstown. He's won that 16-runner handicap in good style of a mark of 104. Up £9 for it, but on pedigree, he should be a fair bit better. He's from a good family by Nathaniel out of a mare called Ava Rami, who was a Andrew Balding mare, if memory serves, in those famous Mill Reef colours. And she's already produced Talia Telly, who's a multiple winner for Gordon Elliott. And I thought Club Manager was liable to prove better than a mark of 113. This run comes soon enough after that debut effort, but I'd have thought he'd be tough enough. It's a tough family as well. The Club Manager will be able to back up fairly quickly, so I did like his chances.
Top stock for Gavin Cromwell there with Club Manager. All right, Ruby, let's talk about Judicious Allen.
She's been disappointing, hasn't she? Since she won at Limerick at Christmas, her last couple of runs have been pretty disappointing, PK. She'd need to definitely regain her best form to get involved. Big competitive field handicap. Maybe that'll bring about the best in her. I'm not so sure it will, but she seems to be regressive rather than progressive, looking at her form. And I was willing to take a chance and won at a good price. There's only two wins have come on the all-weather, yet his four runs over hurdles have all been on heavy ground, and that's Katina Zapata of Henry de Bromhead's. I'm just hoping a sounder surface, quicker track might bring about the improvement into Katina Zapata. Was well beaten by another one here in a maiden hurdle, but I just thought all runs on heavy ground, two wins have come on the all-weather surface. It's a nice day here in Punchestown, and maybe by 3:40 tomorrow the ground will have dried a bit for Katina Zapata each way.
Okay, Katina Zapata in those OTI silks, better known for runners at Flemington and Ranwick and such, but could have a Punchestown Festival winner. Right, the second race on the card is a handicap chase, a listed race over the 2 mile trip. We do have prices for this one. 9-4 Blood Destiny for Mullins and Townend, 7-1 Pinkerton for Noel Mead and Weezer fans. Mighty Tom is 8-1, 8-1 Pat DeRue, 9-1 Guadalarge and 10's Bar. Okay, Rui, I have to go straight back to you. Blood Destiny, 150 the mark.
Yeah. And I don't know. I suppose if you're going through Spillane's Tower and how impressive he was here on Tuesday, yeah, maybe he does look well in. But for a five-year-old, not the biggest horse in the world, 150, 11 stone 12, I think it's going to be a big ask. I think it'll be a big ask to give £20 to Pinkerton, who will appreciate the surface. Pinkerton himself was 140-odd rated hurdler. He was in off 130 over fences, so... I just think, I suppose 140 when he ran in Cheltenham is probably a 135 or 6 Irish hurdle mark, but Pinkerton's definitely better in over fence than he is over hurdles, and I just think having to give £20 to a horse of Pinkerton's class could be a big ask for Blood Destiny.
Just a word on Sam Roy as well, who tops the weights.
Yeah, he's been banging on the door, maybe claiming off a maiden. Kelly claims 5 off his back. Might be enough to get him a bit closer. Ran into Sam Brew, who Rory put up at Aintree, and it was no match for him. But yeah, look, he's in good form. He runs his race, but the handicapper looks to have him.
Okay. Mark Walsh doesn't ride, so obviously the idea is to try and take a few pounds off.
Aidan Kelly rides him, taking 5 off, but you can see why. I mean, his mark is pretty solid at 150, but he can't win off it.
Fair enough. Okay, so there's a couple of the two William Mullins horses mentioned, but it's Pinkerton for Ruby. Your thoughts, Rory?
Not a particularly strong view on the race. I'd maybe take a wee chance on Captain's Nephew at a biggish price. Way, Philip Rothwell trains. He tends to do well at this meeting. Captain's Nephew had looked reasonably exposed early in the season, but won well at Ferry House at the end of March. I think that was breaking a long losing run for the stable. Now, since then, Philip Rothwell's trained 7 or 8 winners, so the yards and better. They're still a little bit in and out, the Rothwell horses, but there have been a fair few winners in April. And I would have thought you can maybe mark Captain's Nephew up for the fact that he'd been, when he'd been beaten, the yard had been struggling for winners. There's winner Clonmel in December. That Ferry House run of a mark of 122 was an improved one. He's gone up a lot in the weights for it, and I prefer him on heavy ground, but he jumps well, and he'll be out of trouble near the front end here. I can see him outrunning his odds, so I think he can maybe hit the frame. I think he'd be around a 25-1 shot on the day. I'm not sure what price he is with you at the moment there, Patrick.
He is 20, Rory, at the moment, as we record on Wednesday afternoon. That's the Captain's Nephew, Philip Rothwell, and the old Doran's Pride silks. We'd love to see it. And a shout out to, he's done a few other things, but he sometimes hosts his podcast, Paddy Power. He's got a leg in the Folks Tiara, who's also in that race. Good luck, Paddy, with the Folks Tiara, who is a 14-1 shot. All right, the Latouche, the famous storied Banks race of the festival, of the year indeed, at Punchestown. And as we've seen in the cross country at Cheltenham over the last few years, classier horses seem to be to the fore here in Cocoa Beach, a rating of 159. Jack Kennedy on board. Banks probably not your gig, Rory, or maybe not as strong as in this type of race as others, but that looks as strong. And he's got a bit of course form as well.
Yeah, he's hugely reliable, really likable performer. Didn't really run to his very best in the Grand National last time out. But I thought the biggest issue for him in the National was the weight he was carrying in relation to a lot of the others in that race. And the way the race panned out didn't suit him. Normally, he'd be ridden a little bit more forward, as we saw from the Grand National. Virtually the entire field with a chance of sorts with 2 to jump, but that wouldn't really be his setup. He looked to love this when winning in February. And he would have been quite an interesting one for the cross country itself at Cheltenham. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be with Cocoa Beach here. Maybe, as we see with the results in the cross-country course here, the Banks course, it doesn't always see class come to the fore. Horses who just enjoy the discipline seem to win. You know, horses with very little form in on park tracks can show massively improved form to win here. So it's never one to think, well, you're £10 clear in the ratings, you're £15 clear in the ratings. It should be easy. It never really is at Punchestown. But he did seem to really enjoy himself here in February. He's such a likable horse as well. You'd love to see him get another good payday. So maybe a little bit of heart overhead here in terms of the prices, but I wouldn't want to be against Cocoa Beach.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what kind of price. I've got a tissue and it's 7-4. I think that's pretty tempting, I'll be honest. Ruby, your thought on the Banks race?
I'd love a bit of 7-4 about Cocoa Beach. As Rory said, it's all about enjoying the discipline of this fella. They look to love it here in February, especially the doubles. He bounced down and bounced off them like he was doing it all his life. And I think he's very hard to oppose, even on ground that probably wouldn't be in his favour. But I just think he's too good for the opposition and he loves the discipline.
Two votes for Cocoa Beach. Interesting to see what kind of a price he goes. Right, we're not going to get much of a price in the first of the grade ones, the 525, the Barberstown Castle Novice Chase. This is the 2 miler, Gaelic Warrior. Now, will he dangle the carrot, Ruby, of leaving him in quite late at Sandown before eventually pulling him out? Obviously, Al Fabiola went for the celebration. The fact that he was even being considered for that race shows how good he could be. Look, he's 1-4. He's going to be no price. Ilite Tomp, 130. Hercule Lassoy, 14-1. Thank God Willie Mullins is running horses in this race, because otherwise we'd have a 100-1 poke. So Ruby, I guess is there anything outside of the Gaelic Warrior easy win?
You'd be hoping so. Even with Hercule and Lassoy in there, he should go gallop, which would suit Gaelic Warrior to get a lead. Look, he showed at Cheltenham that left-handed isn't an issue for him, but he has great form going right-handed and does jump out to his right. He won his beginner's chase here. There's nothing to dislike PK, and yeah, he 1-4, whatever price he is, it's a race to watch, really, but you can't oppose him.
Yeah, the Gaelic Warrior, Ilite Tomp forecast won't even play that much at this stage, Rory. This is not your type of race.
No, really. I mean, the one thing to say here is that Ilite Tomp did appear to improve at Aintree, which surprised me. I didn't think stepping up and trip would particularly suit Ilite Tomp, and what we'd seen of him in previous years was that he showed his form through the winter and then maybe tailed off a little bit in the spring, but he took a step forward. Willie was at pains to point out how well he walked around the parade ring. I actually went back and watched that again. I did, and he moved really fluidly, walking around exactly how you want to see a horse pre-race. And Willie said all horses should be like that, and seemed to be, you know, putting up as the beau ideal of the ideal chaser pre-race in terms of his demeanor. So I'd be slightly wary of taking the Arkle form as gospel there. In terms of the distances beaten, I think on time horse ratings, he ran £11 better at the entry. And I don't think it was all down to the trip either. He's certainly surprised me. But listen, on his pedigree, by Jukebox Jury out of a Domalco mare, he is going to improve for 2.5. He'll probably improve. If he keeps going the way he is, he'll improve for further down the line as well. So I can see him getting closer to Gaelic Warrior. And the key here is that Gaelic Warrior wants to get a lead for a long way from the likes of Mount Frisco and Hercule de Soy, who are both going to go forward. It's just a case of how long they can drag him into the race. And if he's left in front with 3 to jump, you might be a little bit, you know, wary of being with him in that kind of scenario. And Ilite Tomp will be looking to pounce late. But the chances are that Gaelic Warrior will just have the race handed to him in a plate. And he's hard to be against. Although I certainly won't be backing him at 1-4.
No, that's fine.
Or even the 4. I mean, the forecast looks nailed on as well. But it's going to be 4-7, 1-2 anyway. So
yeah, there'll be other ways of playing. Of course, you could go Tricast. You could go.
We're going to Tricast in that race, surely.
I think there probably will be on paddypower.com. They usually do. Not necessarily a tote based one. Yes, yeah. So Tricast, not a trifecta, Rory. No, yeah. We're not allowed to say that, right? We're still not allowed to say that.
The Tricast is a formula bet as well.
Yeah.
You know,
You could try it out. I fancy the Willie Mullins Tricast in that race anyway. Combo
you want
Tricast.
To be in the first 4 in correct order, really, wouldn't you?
You probably could. Hopefully all 4 finish. But look, there will be winning distance offers, lengthen your odds and that sort of thing as well, if you fancy getting involved in that. That's Gaelic Warrior, hot pot in the novice chase.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the champion stayers, better makeup here in terms of 8-11 Tiapu, the favourite, Gordon and Jack Kennedy. Big day for Jack Kennedy. If you can get a couple of winners here on the likes of Cocoa Beach and Tiapu. Home by the lead for Joseph O'Brien. Bit ahead the ball, isn't he? 11-2. Buddy One, who's really progressed from handicaps into a greater performer, 13-2. Sire de Burleigh, the old boy, 8-1. 10-1 Asterion for launch. That's the pick of Paul Townend. It's 20-1 Monkfish. And oh, I hope Ruby Walsh. Ruby, I hope you're on with Hugh Cahill on RT tomorrow, because the first question from Hugh Cahill will be to you. Monkfish, geez, he's a good horse, isn't he, Ruby? He loves that horse.
I'm on Racing TV tomorrow, PK. No. So Hugh Cahill have to ask somebody else about Monkfish, who was disappointed in the Gold Cup and very lacklustre at entry. So Hugh Cahill can have him. As regards the race itself, I probably was one of Tupu's doubters maybe going to Cheltenham, but I certainly left Cheltenham a believer. And to be honest with you, I think he has the makings of a perennial champion in this division. I think he'd be hard to beat here. I think he'd be hard to beat again next year and even the year after at this division. The way he races, his attitude, the way he jumps, he settles, he stays, he's turned a foot. He is everything I would want in a staying hurdler. And I pose him at your best wishes now. But I'm most certainly with him and will be with him for a long time.
All right. 8-11 to win on Thursday, but I'm sure you can request a price. Ask Paddy Power for Tiapu to win the next two stayers as well. On top of that, if you want to get a price. All right, Rory, what are your thoughts? A big field. There's probably an each way angle here for Mr. Delargy.
Yeah, again, I don't really want to make any judgments about Tiapu, who looked very good at Cheltenham. It would be a slight concern him back on ground is liable to be no worse than yielding, I would say, looking at the latest weather forecast. And that's always been the potential issue with Tiapu, that all his best form is in soft or heavy ground. And it does ask a little bit of a question. The other aspect, of course, is that he needs to be, he seems to need to be very fresh. In fairness, he's pretty fresh for this, really, isn't he? After 49 days off from Cheltenham, that only being his second start of the season. So I don't see a particular reason to be looking to take him on as such, but he does, again, create a good each-way shape. I wouldn't be throwing fortunes at this, but I would give Lantry Lady a chance of making the frame at 25-1. She's the one with most improvement in this race. I mean, she'd need to improve a stone and more to throw down a big challenge to Tiapu, but you wouldn't be at all surprised. She's only had the three lifetime starts. She was off the best part of a year after her debut as well. And she won, she won what is a champion hurdle trial on her second start. It wasn't a particularly good champion hurdle trial in the end, the Red Mills. But she won that in good style. And she stayed the 2.5 of the mare's hurdle very well. She couldn't lay a glove on the winner, but she ran on very strongly up the hill to nearly grab third from the stable companion. And she looked like she would benefit from a step up and trip there. She's not really bred for it. She's not bred to be a 3-miler, but obviously she's from the family of Annie Parr, who very nearly won a stairs hurdle herself before dropping back and winning a champion. So the way she shaped at Cheltenham suggested that the 3 miles of Punchestown might be within her grasp. And I'd give her a chance of shaking things up a little bit in this division. It'd be great to see she does improve for 3 miles, because she'd then add a bit of intrigue to the staying division.
Lovely. All right, Lantry Lady. I know Frank Hickey's also been a bit keen on her as well. So see if she can get into the frame in the champion stayers. Right on to the 6:35. Back into Handicap Hurdle Company, listed Handicap Hurdle over nearly 3 miles, so same trip. Again, no Paddy Power prices, but as I said, watch out for extra places. And we do have a tissue. Captain Cody, likely favourite. I suppose, Ruby, everyone's thinking about day one and seeing Daddy Longlegs and seeing how he ran in first time in a handicap. So everyone's kind of thinking, Mullins horses in handicaps, we'll keep an eye on those. And Captain Cody fits that sort of a bill.
Yeah, he most certainly does. The one thing Captain Cody does have, though, is a much better record with Jody Townend on his back than Paul Townend. His two hurdle wins have both come under Jody, but he's run at Nace behind Answer to Cave. Looks rock solid back in back in February time when he was second. Dizzy of Oz was behind him and a few more, but that's probably his best piece of form. It looked like another way was going really well when he fell at the second last in Ferryhouse and Captain Cody ended up winning. But you'd imagine 138 is a reasonable enough mark for him. He ran okay in the Cheltenham Bumper last year behind the Dream to Share, in fact, the file. So, he's a fair horse. 138, again, PK, you're looking at Gaelic Warrior and you're thinking, well, in all honesty, Blood Destiny's in the handicap chase as a novice. He's not in the novice chase. You're looking at Captain Cody, 138. Should he be in here against really exposed handicappers? I think it's hard on the handicappers, and I think it's hard on the handicapper to put a mark on these horses. And you wonder why we don't have runners in novice races, because they're winning all the handicaps. Something, I don't know how you fix it, but something around there needs to be looked at, and how you try and let handicappers win handicaps and keep the novices in the novice races. But look, I think he's hard to oppose. Do I think he's as chucked in now? I didn't realise Daddy Longlegs was as well in, but do I think Captain Cody's well in? He probably is when you look at that.
Fair enough. Captain Cody could be well in off a mark of 138. Yeah, and a discussion for another day. Maybe more novice handicaps. Rory, your thoughts on this handicap hurdle?
I guess it's not massively appealing to me again, but I would give a chance to Kilbeg King, who won the race last year. He's looked an improved performer this season over fences, but at the same time, he's been held back a little bit by his jumping on his recent starts. He went to Cheltenham and he went to Aintree, and that's a slight concern that he's done those meetings. But I thought it looked like he would win the Reynolds sign, was just touched off there, but he got low at three or four fences at Ascot and lost ground doing it. He did the same in the National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham, which didn't help his cause. And again, he didn't convince me entirely, despite running a respectable race win, 6-2 Cruise Control in the freebooter. I think he'll benefit from return to hurdles. This track clearly suits. He probably threw in his two best runs this season are coming right-handed tracks. When third in the Cotto Star at Kempton, and then when second in the Reynolds Town. A mark of 134 is only 6 pounds higher than when he won the race last year. As I said, he looks at least as good as ever. It's just a case of his jumping over fences, holding him back a little bit. And again, with that, it's not like a lack of confidence. He's just getting a bit low and losing ground at fences. And I think he'll actually appreciate a return to hurdles here, and he can run well at a double-figure price.
Yeah, well, of course, the British trainers did well on the first day, and the handicap hurdle first and third in the opening race of the festival, if memory serves, yeah. So Tom Lacey with the first and third, didn't he? So we'll see how Kilbeg King goes. One of quite a few representing the UK. Got Nicky Henderson with Chantry House. Here's a hell of a name. Clive Boultby Brooks.
Clive Boultby Brooks, indeed.
Clive Boultby Brooks.
Not without a chance, that sound.
Well,
I've been running
around. Della Casalunga is the name of the horse, yeah.
Well, Clive Boultby Brooks has definitely got there's a connection with him and Tom Lacey. Tom Lacey used to train his horses, and Clive trains under his own steam these days. So
maybe he was working there, something along those lines, maybe former assistant or something like that. So, yep, British horses doing...
The name like Boultby Brooks. Surely not.
Great name. Double B. Right, the listed mares novice hurdle at 7:05 is our next port of call. Plenty of unexposed. A few horses have shown their form. Paul had a tricky call. He's gone with Spindleberry for Willie, who also saddles Pagan, Iris Emery, Got Glory, and Implicit, who's on a hat trick. So Ruby, I have to go to you. Harry Derham's also got Molly's Mango in the race, by the way, speaking of the British trainers, but plenty for Willie here.
Yeah, plenty of chances. And obviously Spindleberry is the form choice with her run at Ferryhouse behind Jade de Grugy in the Grade One. I'd say she was the obvious one for Paul to go for, but I just have a sneaky suspicion Got Glory can give her all she wants of it. She was off for a long time from April when she pulled up behind Ashlow Diamond to her second run for Willie when she beat My Lucky Colleen at Nace. I think she's improved a little bit for that run, and she was always a filly Willie really liked. So, I wouldn't say this was straightforward, and I think for a bit of value, I'd be siding with Got Glory.
In the familiar Turley Gallop and the Champs Silks, Rory, the Mayor's Novice.
I know there's no prices for this at the moment, but it's interesting the one firm who have priced it up have gone 8-15 Spindleberry. So they think it's going to be one by traffic. That seems very short to me. I mean, she does look very talented. And obviously running up to Jade de Grugy is a decent bit of form. But I'm not sure that Grade One at Ferry House had Grade One depth to it. For all the winners, clearly, if I don't want to have knocked Jade de Grugy at all, she's very good. But with with Brighter Days Ahead coming out of it, it was a little bit weak in behind the winner. Big on numbers, but not necessarily an awful lot of grade one depth. I'd still give her every chance here, but I wouldn't be touching her at 8 to 15 or even 4 to 6. I'd be looking for a little bit of value here. I thought Casa Nomento, who's been, again, I don't know what kind of price she's going to end up. She's 18 to 1 with that unnamed firm who've decided to throw up some random prices. I think they'll be changing a few of them. But I thought Casa Nomento at that sort of price was interesting. She was a very good bumper mare. And she's taken pretty well to hurdles. She's won 3 out of 4 so far for Nigel Twist and Davis. She won well at Chepstow last time out. The mare that she beat that day went close at the track. Subsequently, I think she's reasonably talented. That one, Toby McKay Mitchell rode her that day. Sam Tristan Davis is on here. Again, I'd love to see Nigel Tristan Davis with a Punchestown winner. He's happy, he was one of the few trainers. I think he might have been the only English trainer took a horse across to the Dublin Racing Festival last year. It didn't work out for him at all, but he deserves a bit of success for his cavalier attitude to the big prizes. And I think Casa Nomento has got the class to get involved here. Whether she's good enough to win, I don't know, but she makes a bit of each way appeal.
Lovely. And hopefully at that price on that unnamed firm is something similar. Right, 8-15, can't be having that, Spindleberry. The bumper on the card, it's the winner's bumper, so it's usually you need to be smart to win this one. Angelo Dundee won at the festival last year, not seen since for Dermot McLaughlin. Willie's got Cantico, he's also got Portulan, he's also got just those two. Now, Portulan didn't run at Cheltenham, Cantico did. I know, Ruby, you were quite keen on Cantico. Cheltenham ran no race, but Patrick's gone Portulan.
I was clean on Argento Boy, who ran even worse than Cantigo in the Cheltenham bumper. But poor Julian. Patchy likes him. He won at Gorn and won quite impressively. But I'm going to go back to St. Stephen's Day, PK, and Goal in the Mountains won what looked a hot enough race to me on that occasion. He beat My Way of Thinking, and Cantigo was back in third. So Martin Brazel has kept this horse since then. Sean Mulryan likes to have runners and winners at Punchestown, and I'm going to side with Gold in the Mountains in a first time tongue shot.
Yeah, Pat King on board, and very, very good looking bumper that one. David Maxwell's got a ride for Harry Derham on his own horse, Three Boy, in the race, and Rob Core team got Samir as well, John Gleeson. They obviously had a winner already in a bumper, so that looks a cracking little heat. Not even going to go to you, Rory, am I?
Well, I would say, I'll say something briefly. No, I don't have a bet on that, but You've mentioned that David Maxwell has a ride, but I think the horse that David Maxwell rides here could be very smart. He won the bumper. He won was a four runner race, and you tend to automatically think, well, that was obviously didn't take an awful lot of winning. But the runner up was a previous winner trained by Sam Thomas, who looked a very good prospect when winning on his debut and has run well since. And the third, who was beaten 20 odd lengths, bolted up in a bumper next time out. So I think that actually might be reasonably good form. It's not easy to weigh up because of the size of the field, and it was on Chepstow heavy ground as well. But Queensbury Boy looked to have loads of gears that day. So I would not, if he was a big price, I might be tempted to throw a few bob at him. He's certainly not one to take lightly.
Come on, Maxwell. It'd be great to see were he to get a winner for friend of the pod, Harry Derham, as well. Right, that is your third day Punchestown wrapped up, lads. Now time for the best bets on what's obviously a tricky day. There's a couple of odds on pokes and then big fields. Rory, your best bet on day three, please.
Ooh, that was very, very lukewarm and most of it, really, wasn't it? I think I'm going to just go back to the first race where I was pretty keen on Club Manager. No prices for that, I don't think, at the moment. But given the size of the field, I'd like to think you'll get 10 or 12 to 1. And I think there could be a lot more to come from him.
You should get a nice little price, and it'll be an extra place race as well. Ruby, best bet on?
I think it's the treble in the middle of the card. Cocoa Beach, Gaelic Warrior, Tupu.
Ruby, keeping it simple. The treble. The treble. So Cocoa Beach.
You love Tupu to hear it, don't you, PK?
And then in the... I do love to hear that.
You'll be having a fourfold no doubt.
Not just, I'll stick something in. What day is it? Thursday. I'll find a team in the Europa League, some fav in the Europa League to put in and make it a nice little fourfold. So the treble, as Ruby called it, Cocoa Beach, Gaelic Warrior, and Tupu. That'll be a nice price too as well. We don't know what kind of price Cocoa Beach would be, but should be a nice price. Lovely stuff, lads. Thank you very much for your company ahead of Thursday's action. We'll be back very shortly. Keep an ear and an eye out for that on the various Spotify, Apple, whatever you use your podcast. And also don't forget, check out Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, as well as pop into a shop for a free tenner bet on the Punchestown action all week, that offer in play. We'll be back looking ahead to Friday's action. Just keep an ear out for us.